Hello everyone and welcome back to the Just a United Fan podcast. It's been 2 weeks since we did this, since I did this, and we've got a lot to talk about. Of course, we had that big frenzy of 3 games in 5 days after the Roma result, and I gave my thoughts on it, I gave my predictions on it, and I said that we won't get through this with a clean record, and if we did, we would have to give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a whole lot more credit than we give usually, but he didn't give us a chance to do that, and I don't think it's for him to blame. We got only 3 points out of those available 9 points, which would have been the clean record, or whatever, however you say it. But look, it was the first result against Aston Villa. Again, we came back from 1-0 down through a penalty, a well-deserved penalty at one. And in the second game against Leicester, we fielded a very young squad with a pinch of experience and players like Nemanja Matic playing in there. We lost that 2-1, but I think the young players showed a lot of fight. Credits to the two youngsters who got on the scoreboard in the first half. First, of course, was Luke Thomas of Leicester City. You know, that's a wonderful volley. Again, he was left unmarked by Brandon Williams, but when you don't play players for more than months, that's bound to happen. Like, you could see that Brandon Williams wasn't sharp at all, and that's what finally happened. And but credit to Luke Thomas, even after the ball came to him, he had a lot of work to do, and he had to get that perfect, in fact, because if that volley doesn't go anywhere except where it went, if it does go anywhere else, then I think either De Gea saves it or it's just off target. But he placed it right in the corner, right in the top corner, which was an amazing goal to see. Of course, we went 1-0 down again. We did come back with an amazing Mason Greenwood goal. It was played long by Lindelof, I think. No, Lindelof wasn't playing in that game. I think it was Tuanzebe who played it long, and Ahmad received it brilliantly. It was a good opportunity for him, his first in the Premier League. He took the ball down well, and he kept it away from two very, very physical defenders. And then he gave a good cushion pass to Greenwood. Greenwood went past two. Of course, that it happened because of his unpredictability of which foot he'll use. So as a defender, you can't say for sure that he'll check onto which of his foot, which of his 2 feet. So he used that to his advantage. He went onto his right, and it was a very good finish as well. Right along the ground, wasn't driven or something, it was just placed perfectly into the side netting, and it was a really good goal. Credit to Mason Greenwood, he's received a lot of stick this season. We have to remember that in the first half of the season, especially, not scoring too many goals. But in a recent interview, he did say that his overall game has been better this season. He's linking up well, and to a degree, that is true, because that his link up play has improved. And during the first half of the season, it was looking like it was at a compromise of his goal scoring. But in the recent weeks, he's shown us that is not the case. That he can still finish as he could, but he's improved his overall link up play, his overall play as an attacker, as a winger, and his passing is better, his dribbling through defenders is better, a better decision making, which has still got to improve. But he's very young right now; he's just 19 years old. So that's going to improve, it's going to keep improving. And right now, he's not a perfect nine, he hasn't got the physicality for that, as Ole has said. But it will come in a few years, maybe 2 or 3 years. He'll become much more stronger on the ball, he can hold off defenders much better, and it's very exciting to look at him develop. And I've been a Manchester United fan since the last 4 years, so I haven't seen a proper youth academy product develop into a Manchester United legend or a Manchester United star yet, except Marcus Rashford maybe. So it is really, really exciting to see a player like Mason Greenwood come through the academy, burst into the first team, and to look at his development, look at him growing throughout the years. It will be really, really interesting, and I genuinely look forward to it. Other than that, of course, many of the people will say this thing, but in the first season of him in the first team, like properly, he did overperform, didn't he? He exceeded expectations, and That's why in the second season people are saying that he is having a bad season. But if you look at it, he's just 19 years old. And because he's just 19 years old, I think he's been performing very well. But people are of course over expecting of him because he had a much better season than expected in 1920. So of course that played into the factor of the media criticizing him at times, but he's done well to keep his head on the pitch, not listen to those, you know, to shut it all out. Of course there were incidents in his personal life during the off season in 2020, but he's put that all aside. He's got a great encourager in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We've talked about it, about the motivation that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer brings to his players, that being one of his strong suits. So he has really done well. We did lose that game in the end to a Soyuncu header. It's a wonderful header. It was placed right into the corner. And few can blame him. Matic didn't jump. I don't know why. But let's give them to that. It was a very good leap from Soyuncu himself. I don't think Matic would have gotten there anyways because of the momentum that Kagla Soyuncu had. But Leicester won. They kept their top four hopes alive, which faded on the last day. Anyways, but on we moved to Liverpool, and it was a disappointing performance, I have to say. This time it was a first team, and I get that there are fatigue problems, but this was the chance to finally beat Liverpool in the league. And I thought we weren't going to lose. I thought maximum we'll get a draw because of Klopp's record at Old Trafford. He hasn't won here, but he did now. He has now. They beat us well, actually. They looked back to their best in that game. When last season when teams used to play them, from the start, they used to press so well that they used to bombard you with chances in the first 20 minutes, and the teams just couldn't deal with that pressure and they would eventually concede. That's what I saw from them after they went a goal down, which was, you could say, a lucky goal, but the technique on that was brilliant from Bruno Fernandes. But they went a goal down, and after that they came out really well, and I felt vibes of the Liverpool last season, that intensive pressing, that quick play, that quick counter attack, and that was the reason for the third goal we conceded as well. Brilliant pressure, of course. Fred and McTominay are kind of they're terrible, let's be honest. And Luke Shaw didn't cover himself in glory either. So on our side, it was a bad goal to concede, but the pressing was really good. That being said, Harry Maguire, without him, we couldn't defend. We couldn't defend for the next two games. Liverpool, we were bad. Fulham, finally, the supporters came back. It was a joy to see. It was an absolute joy to see supporters back. And I loved it. I was listening to it with earphones, with the speakers on 100, okay, well, not quite on 100, but at a loud volume, and brilliant. It was so good. It was refreshing to see fans back at Old Trafford, and what better way to coronate them than that superb lob from Edinson Cavani. Great goal, and for that to be his first goal in front of the fans with the fans back is a fantasy of Manchester United fans, and it came true. It was an amazing moment, and I felt overwhelmed. It was really good. Now let's talk about the game. Other than that, of course, it was still a controversial goal because if Bruno Fernandes didn't get a touch on that, then Cavani was initially in offside position. But we don't need to talk about that. What we do need to talk about is the shortcomings of our team without Harry Maguire in defence. Okay, maybe, listen, Bailly and Tuanzebe, all in love, they're all good players in their own rights. But Bailly and Tuanzebe haven't played enough this season. Lindelof has been shaky. But the one true thing that we lacked in the Fulham game was leadership at the back. These players, they're used to Harry Maguire being their commander. So, and Harry Maguire is used to them. So he knows what instructions to give when. He's a leader in that defense. He's a leader for a whole team. He's the captain. But he knows how to organize a defense, when to tell whom to go push upfield or come back. And that's something we missed in that game. And we already know Aaron Wan-Bissaka's marking is suspect. But still, I think if Harry Maguire would have been there, I don't think we would have conceded against Fulham. And Fulham did have two or three good openings in the first half as well, especially that chance with Carvalho. which he fluffed because he's a very young child. But still, that was a really good chance, and the ease with which he got past Lindelof. If Lindelof is beaten for pace, he can't do anything else, which is a problem we need to address in the summer by getting a centre back. Now, there have been reports about Varane, about Pau Torres, and about Jules Koundé, but we'll see what happens. But we did lack Harry Maguire in that game, and after that game I was thinking, in the Europa League we are getting rinsed. And then we went on to the Wolves game, which was in 2 days. And Anthony Elanga started again. He started against Leicester. He made a good impression, and he started against Wolves yesterday. And boy oh boy, did he get his dream moment. In the first 15 minutes, he scored in the 13th minute. And within the first 10 minutes, he had two relatively good opportunities. One was a ball played over the top by Alex Telles. It was really good, but he couldn't control it. One which I think he should have gotten under control, but that was the nerves. The second chance he created for himself. Dan James came in, played a good ball into the box, and it reached Elanga. He shuffled onto his left foot, and then again I think the nerves came into play, scoring his first goal for his dream club, and he again fluffed his lines. He shot it over the bar, and at that point I was thinking, maybe, yes, it looks like he's gonna score tonight, but I don't think he will. He'll get opportunities. It's kind of the trend we saw with Mason Greenwood in the last game of the 2018-19 season. He had a lot of opportunities, many of them created by his own fantastic movement, but he just couldn't take them. And we lost 2-0 that day to Cardiff City, who were relegated. And Wolves, of course, have been a bogey team for us. It's like the definition of equilibrium when Wolves and Man United play. But we won. That's something to say. But the cross by Dan James was amazing. The header by Elanga, even better. This time he didn't fluff his lines. He placed it and he put it exactly where he wanted to be. And it was a bullet. It was timed to perfection. It was a great goal to see. The cross, the finish, amazing, exquisite. The build-up was good as well, and it was dreamland for Anthony Elanga. And I'm very happy for him. I'm happy that more and more academy graduates are getting time on the field, getting their goals. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done this thing right as well. He's given the youth chances. Because the thing is, when you have managers who have been part of this club before, they know what it's about. They get it. They get that this is the culture of the club. This is the culture of the club. You promote the youth. You give youth a chance. You let them express themselves. You play attractive, expressive football. And we saw that against Wolves. And not to mention as well, because Van de Beek, Telles, and players like Brandon Williams, Tuanzebe, Bai, they've been getting a bit of game time in the recent weeks because of the Roma result in the first leg. They got to play in the second leg. Because of the fixture congestion in the middle, they got to play against Leicester. And once they're getting minutes, you can see the difference. Van de Beek against Wolves looked really sharp. His passing was good. His overall link up play was improving. And Brandon Williams looked a bit better as well. Tuanzebe was fantastic in that game. He's probably the reason why we got out of there with a win. And the penalty that Mata got, it's debatable, okay? I think Donny van de Beek dived. I don't think that's the word. But it looked ambiguous. And the first time I saw it, the thing is, after he's clipped on the ankle by the Wolves defender, he takes one more step and then falls. I find that odd. I could be wrong. But listen, if you got tripped, then you should fall, right? And I get that you can get an imbalance and after 2-3 steps you can fall as well. That can happen. But he didn't look as if it didn't look as if his balance was disturbed when he took that second step after he got clipped. So I thought that was simulation, and I honestly didn't think it would be given. But listen, Mike Dean, you never know what to expect with him. He gave the penalty, and you could say it was deserved on the run of play. Nata scored, and it was dreamland again. In the second half, we couldn't express ourselves as much. We didn't have the possession. Wolves mostly dominated, but we thwarted them well. It was a good defensive display in a long, long time. It's a shame that we couldn't get to keep a clean sheet, but a good result, I would say. 2-1, last game of the season, youth getting a chance. All three substitutions were youth academy prospects. Hannibal Mejbri coming on, Shola Shoretiri coming on, and then Will Fish coming on. All of them, three exciting players. They got some minutes. Not enough minutes, but that's fine. and overall it was a good way to be heading into a European final, which is the thing we're going to talk about next. Of course, Harry Maguire is very, very doubtful for the final, but I guess this was just an audition, this game, of who will be partnering Lindelof in the Europa League final in case Harry Maguire doesn't play, which is looking like the case by the minute. And I think Tuan Zebe stood out, and I think if Harry Maguire does indeed end up not being ready for the final, it will be Tuan Zebe who will be partnering Lindelof at centre-back. And eventually, before going into the Wolves game, I had my doubts, because the day before I had watched the La Liga finale between Real Madrid and Villarreal to check out the competition as well as see what happens in the La Liga title race. Atletico Madrid won, Real Madrid bottled it. But listen, Villarreal were really good, and they're a well-coached team. Unai Emery knows what he's doing. He knows this competition in and out. He's won it 3 times in 4 finals. He's lost one, but that was with Arsenal, so that doesn't count. I'm kidding, of course it does, but listen, okay, it's Arsenal. Let's leave it at that. But the Villarreal side is very well coached, as usually is with Spanish teams. Their passing is quick, their build-up is quick, and unlike teams in England, they don't dwell on the ball too long. So it's like playing with a Spanish Leeds United. Or you could say Leeds United are the English of Villarreal or any other Spanish team that plays possession-based football, because that's what they do. And they are an amazing team. They've got destructive players up front. They've got Carlos Bacca as a striker. He's won the Europa League before, and he can be a real nuisance, I've got to tell you. And when I saw Willian Jose coming on for the second half during the Wolves game, I was happy, because our centre backs needed training with a striker like Willian Jose and not with someone like Fabio Silva, for example, because Carlos Bacca is kind of the physical striker you get with Villarreal, and Willian Jose is that type, so it was good training for them. He's going to be a nuisance. And the whole game, we might play on the back foot, we might play on the counter-attack. I think that's a real possibility, because I don't think our defense is capable of dealing with how quick Villarreal play. That being said, we have to exploit their weaknesses. They are very susceptible to counter-attacks. Of course, Pau Torres will be playing, and we'll be able to see what he does against us. It could be a bit awkward, I'm not making the rules, but we'll see how he deals with us on the counter-attack, because we are amazing on the counter-attack. It's going to be Rashford, there's going to be Greenwood, there's going to be Cavani, there's going to be Bruno Fernandes. All of us are going to pepper them, that's for sure. And we'll see how he deals with us on the break. And I think we'll need more than a goal in this game if we are to win it in normal time. I think we'll probably need 2 or 3 to win this, because I just don't see us keeping a clean sheet against these lot. They attack really well, they're fast, they're quick, and usually defenders that play in England are not used to that thing. That's why our record against Spanish teams isn't that great, because we are just not used to teams passing the ball around that quickly. Although this season we've beaten Granada, and it was a good win, and hopefully you can replicate the same. But going into it, I think the lineup, we'll see Cavani, we'll see Rashford. I don't think Greenwood will play. I'd be surprised if he does. Bruno Fernandes will be there. McTominay and Fred will be there. That's the main concern, of course, seeing them too. It's really hard nowadays to see both of them. But Lindelof will be there. And either of Bayo or Tuan Zebe will start, which I'm fine with. Either of them. Bayo looked a little bit shaky against Wolves, but he's a good player. He can perform when you need him to. Wan-Bissaka on the right side of defense. Luke Shaw on the left, who's been stellar this season. And hopefully we can win it. And if we do win it, I think it'll be probably on the break, counter-attacking them hard. If he can do that, that is amazing. And of course, our defenders will need to be on top of their game, because if they don't, I think Villarreal can really hurt us. Listen, this is a final. There are no favorites over here, right? Who plays, the team that plays better on the day wins. It's not like the league. We cannot call ourselves favorites. That's the main thing. It's our mentality as well. We cannot go into this game calling ourselves favorites, because it's a final. There are no damn favorites. So Villarreal are going to be coming at us with all the passion they've got. This is their first ever European final, and they're going to be playing with pride. and we need to match their intensity if we are to win this, and we need to win this. Otherwise, it will be a disappointing season despite us finishing second, which we wouldn't even have thought of at the start of the season. But if we win the Europa League and we finish seconds, if we have finished second, but if we win the Europa League, it will be the cherry on top. It will be a successful season, not only a progressive season. So hopefully we can do that against Villarreal, and of course you'll hear from me after that final sometime, and yeah, so we'll meet then. Thank you for watching or listening.